tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
In a New York state of mind. Shout out to Cindy on Twitter for the song suggestion. We like it.
Yay.
Thank you. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Fern Ronay, and this is the after show for Real Housewives of New York City. And I am joined by...
Hi, everybody. It's Megan Stecker. And back by popular demand, we have our special guest with us again tonight.
I'm Dr. Fran Wallfish, and delighted to be back with you.
We're so happy to have you back. Lindsay and Ashley will be back next week. But, Megan, we have Dr. Fran all to ourselves.
I know.
We're so excited.
We are. We were saying how we find your voice very soothing.
Yeah.
And that we could listen to you psychoanalyze the Housewives all day long.
Yeah.
So we're very excited.
So this is awesome. And this episode was chock full of things to analyze. This is awesome. So let's get right to it. And we'll start with Brunchgate. So there was, as we remember last week, Bethany and Ramona got into it because Bethany said, what are we doing for lunch tomorrow? And Ramona said, what are you talking about? I'm having a brunch. And there was the fighting back and forth. So how did they resolve it? I think they resolved it. I mean, I think if I were in Luann's position and the rest of the girls, I would have done what they did, and they went to both. They tried to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that was the right thing to do?
I do. I thought the only problem was there was a communication issue mm-hmm. in that they didn't say, we're going to Bethany's first and we're not going to be on time.
Exactly.
Because they were an hour and a half late to Ramona's brunch, which was at a restaurant. So it's not like they were at home and could show up whenever.
Right.
They were late for a reservation.
Right.
So I felt that, and maybe it was calculated in that they didn't want her to know that's where they were until after the fact.
Right.
So that they weren't all upset and worked up about it while they were waiting for them.
Right.
I'm not sure. Yeah. That's my guess on
happened. How do you think they handled it?
I think that's a good guess.
Okay.
You know, I thought Luann was a classy lady.
She would like to hear that, I'm sure.
Yes.
That's how she markets herself.
Miss Manners. Yes.
Last week, they addressed her mm-hmm. and looked to her as Miss Manners. What do you think? And she really demonstrated how to lead the way. She went to both. I thought she handled it beautifully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do not think Ramona handled it so well. She dropped the ball.
Yeah.
She did not email, as you say. She didn't communicate to everyone where and what time. And most of the people ended up angry at her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or irritated, frustrated with her. Mm-hmm. Dorinda left early. Somebody else.
Sonia.
Sonia got up and left early. And they were irritated at Ramona, because
yeah.
they felt like it was her, I'm going to say mm-hmm. her insecurity
mm-hmm.
of still feeling injured, left out,
right.
bruised.
Right.
And
go ahead.
I wanted to say, I wanted to know if you both thought maybe that Ramona's brunch invite was completely made up. The way she was saying the night before, oh, I thought everyone got the email, and I guess none of you got it, my email's broken. I kind of thought it was an on-the-spot confrontational thing with Bethany, so her invite was just to get back at Bethany. So this was an invite that just happened 12 hours before, so no wonder it didn't work out.
Right, exactly. And all of a sudden she made it about Dorinda. That was hysterical.
Right.
In honor of this brunch in honor of Dorinda. But I don't, yeah.
Yeah,
I wonder if there really was an email. She doesn't strike me as a liar, but in that defensive mode, like, you're taking away my guess, maybe she lied. Does she strike you as a liar?
She doesn't strike me as a liar, but she does strike me as someone who gets unglued, discombobulated inside. You guys told me she's known for having those bug out eyes. And she is. You know, tonight in the episode, she used the word control. She said, people mm-hmm. say I'm controlling. And my definition of people who are controlling is they're trying to keep a lid on their high levels of anxiety, and she looks like a highly anxious person.
That's so me. When I should need to come see
me
you.
Me too. Me too.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted your thought. Right here. No, like, yes, wow, yes. That really spoke to me.
Well,
okay.
I think when the anxiety gets too high to manage, people have one of two ways to go. They either get depressed, and that's not any of these folks, or they get controlling, supremely organized, and that's many of these folks.
Yeah. Do you think Bethany has an anxiety issue, a control issue?
I think she has a control issue. I think it's rampant around the table. But she does, and I think that her therapy has chipped away at that, and she's let go of some of the control. She still has control issues, but her anxiety is more managed.
I think it was smart of them to go to Bethany's first and then Ramona's, because I don't think Ramona would have been able to handle. Now we're going to Bethany's. She would have gone, and Bethany was able to handle that.
That is a very good point, because we really learned last week, or at least I speculated, that Ramona has abandonment issues. Yeah. So, God forbid if they went and left.
Right, right, exactly. So then we also saw, before the brunch, they were having a chit-chat deciding what they were going to do. And there was, I didn't know about this. I don't know if it was, you know, in the news and gossip sites about the battle of the dress between Bethany and Ramona. But apparently Ramona was on Bethany's talk show. She dropped something on her dress. Bethany loaned her a dress,
Hervé Léger.
And Ramona took off with it, and when Bethany asked for it back, she claimed, you know, whatever. They called it the back of a truck.
I liked that the story kept unraveling. What were you going to say?
The dress klepto.
Yes. Well, I thought we were going to find out a really big bombshell about maybe what happened to them in between the time that we had seen them be friendly together. Because I know that on Bethany's solo show that she had on Bravo, she was always talking about that she and Ramona, to her surprise, remained friends. Ramona came to her wedding. All these things, and then now they are not doing so well. So I think we thought maybe we were going to get like a big bombshell or really good information on why they weren't getting along. And to know that it was about her feelings over a dress not being returned. The funny part was that the story kept unraveling with Bethany revealing a couple of minutes later that, you know, I'm not mad at Ramona that she took the dress. I'm not mad at Ramona that she lied that it flew out of the back of the car. I'm not mad that she wore it months later in a photo on Instagram. So I just hysterical. Loved how it just kept going and going and
going. Someone pointed out, we have great Twitter followers who are really love the show as much as we do, and someone pointed out that I think Ramona had said, had kind of dissed Skinny Girl, so I think that might have also added fuel to the fire. But I was surprised to see them at odds, because the last we saw them, they were getting along. But, go ahead.
That kind of a thing, you know, arguing over a borrowed dress is so sibling and adolescent behavior. It's the kind of thing you fight with your older sister about. You sneak her dress, and then you give it back. If you don't give it back, the sister's mad at you. Same with a friend or a girlfriend. But you grow out of that after your teenage years.
What do you think it indicates about their relationship?
I think it says something about Ramona. There's a little bit of still stuck in that teenage. That's why her ego gets so easily injured when she's left out. She gets hurt, you know, about feeling, I'm not, what about the brunch? How come not me?
Yes.
I was first. That's very sibling rivalry stuff.
And I understand she's the oldest of four, so maybe that she always felt like she had to, that might have something to do with it.
I'd be curious to know how quickly that second child came in and how fast she had to move over to share that mother.
Because that might say something. And then Carol made an interesting comment. I love Carol. I think she's a doll. She's, you know, I love just everything about her. I think she's hysterical. But I didn't expect such a nasty comment from her when she said, Ramona will never steal my dress because she won't be able to fit in it. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
I was shocked. Were you shocked?
Yeah, and I think my problem with it is a lot of her on-camera solo interviews seem very canned this year to me. Like, we're going to tell you to say this and say it as convincingly as you can, and it's not convincing. I can tell she's either repeating something. You know, it's like, oh, you're not being funny enough in your interviews. Why don't we feed you this? And she's not convincing when she says it to the camera. So I'm having a problem with, I don't think it's the real her.
Yeah.
And they are using nothing but these hurtful little comments from her.
Yeah.
They're supposed to probably be funny in the way that Bethany's come off very funny. They're biting comments. But she's a funny girl, and she's saying it with a dose of sarcasm.
And Ramona's got a great bod for, she's almost 60 years old.
I'm sure that they probably wear the same size clothing. Yeah, they're like, all very fit,
they're
thin
all
women.
They're all gorgeous.
So I have a problem with the way that it seems like they're manipulating her on-camera appearance.
And they did it with Sonia last week when they chopped all those all of those sound bites together to make it sound like she was saying, my house in Connecticut, my house in France, my house in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they may be doing some interesting editing this year. What did you think
of
the comment?
I have a comment about what Megan is saying. It makes me take a step back and think, you are so savvy about as you watch and observe.
Thank you.
And I am somewhat naive.
Mm-hmm.
I am watching as the average audience person. Mm-hmm. I believe what I see. I can't tell what they meaning producers, are feeding the stars, the celebrities, and what is coming out naturally. And so when she made that comment, suddenly I thought, oh my God, she's mean.
Yeah.
I don't like her anymore.
Yeah.
I have to confess that my I majored in television production. So this is all what my world and what I know. And
you've
my
got
very
an Emmy-nominated journalist here, by the way.
Anyway, that was 100 years ago. Thank you, girls. And my very first job in the industry was as an editor. So I like when the show does get so good that I can let that all wash away and be a viewer that wouldn't notice those things.
Right.
The fact that I am noticing them, that's when I'm like, it's being too manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times when I just enjoy the shows and I don't notice all of that.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I'm noticing it and it's taking me out of enjoying it, I think that means they're doing a lot.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that gets toned down.
Yeah, I hope so. And there's enough women and enough action. They don't need to edit too much.
It's a lot.
It's ridiculous. Well, one thing we did notice was Bethany had the same contractor that she had from years ago when she built her, well, not
I
that
love
many
that
years
guy.
Ago. Love that guy.
Gorgeous.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And her designer's adorable.
My God.
He's been on Nate Berkus's talk show. He had a show on HGTV. Like, he is such a handsome guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy he's back.
What's his name? Kevin, I think.
Steven?
And then Steven
the designer.
Designer's cute. And Steven, the contractor.
Steven's cute, and then the designer's even cuter. So.
Yeah. Well, there, she bought a $4 million apartment in Manhattan. She's renovating it. What I don't understand is she's done very well with Skinny Girl. If she's buying a $4 million apartment and renovating it, let's say for $1 million, there's not a $5 million apartment in the island of Manhattan. There's a lot of apartments, and there's a lot of $5 million apartments that would probably be gorgeous, and she could move in as is and not be homeless. I don't understand why she's putting herself through this, but I think it says something about she's a control freak. Do you think maybe she seeks chaos a little bit? Could there be something there, Dr. Fran?
There could be, but who knows? She may have gotten a great deal on the real estate purchase.
Real estate in Manhattan's competitive.
It could have been a $7 million apartment.
Okay.
She got it for
four.
Right.
So you're right.
She looks very business savvy.
Yes, that's
and
true.
That, you know, for her, maybe it was a very good monetary deal.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
I don't
but
know.
I think she's
but
kind of
I have a feeling she's a bit of a perfectionist,
yes.
which
mm-hmm.
is the extreme of controlling.
Right.
You know, if you look at anxiety and where anxiety becomes a control issue, the extreme, the smaller version is obsessive compulsive traits, where you start organizing, lining things up in order.
Right.
But if you're a perfectionist and you have to have every single thing in order, that's the extreme of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in your organized personality. It's in your character. Once it's there, it's set in stone and very difficult to change.
Right. So if I were her friend and I'm like, just buy a $5 million apartment and move in and make yourself happy, it's just not in her.
It might. It might. But if she had bought this apartment and you said, just chill, that won't
help. Wouldn't have worked, right?
Okay. I think with this apartment, I guess I'm in Bethany's defense voice. Yes. I think that she's so, she's got such special needs because she's got her daughter and she wants to make it a very fun, they're living in the middle of Manhattan in a gorgeous, I'm sure, an amazing building, which probably is all just couples and adults. I don't think you think of Manhattan as a place that you raise kids. Now, for the new Manhattan elite, it is a place that you raise four children, and that's how you show your wealth. It's like, oh, we actually have enough room in our apartment that we're raising four kids.
In New York,
But, I think it's still pretty rare to be raising children inside the city, and she wants to make sure that this sterile condo that's going to be pretty modern feels really homey and wonderful to raise her daughter in.
Yeah.
So I think that she really wants to customize it for that. And I wouldn't doubt that she put, I know she's talking a lot in these last episodes about moving her office to a different space, but I wouldn't doubt that she put some semblance of an office for herself there too. So I think it needs to be really customized for, she's a very special one in a million person.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what matters to her is we've seen that she's very controlling and now she has the means to have what she wants.
Right.
So I think it's important to her to have her day fold out in front of her as easy as possible.
That's true. She's worked so hard to get where she is that she's probably like, I got to do it my way.
Mm-hmm. And just to put the icing on that cupcake you just laid out, the bottom line is, you know, we all have some control in us and my retort to that is, so what?
But I think people might say, she's complaining she's homeless. You have so much money. Move in.
Right,
a perfection. But yeah, I'm glad to hear the so what, because I'm a bit of a... Yeah.
So what?
Right.
Yeah. So what?
If it makes her happy. And, yeah.
We all have stuff. And like you said, she's got the money. She's earned it. Why not make it very specific to what she needs, what she wants, make it child, kid friendly, design her office? Absolutely.
I like that. That's your professional opinion.
That's my
what?
That's my diagnosis.
I love it. Well, let's diagnose someone who seems to need a lot of therapy. Ramona. Ramona and Lillian had an extremely genuine conversation at Ramona's apartment. I was surprised how open Ramona was being and how vulnerable, and she's obviously been completely humbled. But they were really talking about, you know, Mario took the dog. She thinks he's living at a friend's. Avery's not talking to her father. And Ramona talked a lot about giving up control and about how, you know, she's so obviously a control freak and high strung. And it seems like she's really had a transition. She's learned from this heartbreak that perhaps she may not have been the easiest person to live with, that she has to give up control. And she's been humiliated, of course, with it being so public. So what did you make of that conversation?
You know, every single thing, everything falls on a spectrum, including control. And as I said, all of us have some
of it.
Level of control. Now, when people go to therapy, everyone gets something else out of the experience, and some people can go deeper than others. And my sense of Ramona is she's learned quite a bit of herself through the pain of the separation. Her husband cheated on her. Mm-hmm. It, you know, those are very painful things that one goes through. But in terms of how deep she has gone, she has further to go. So she has more to learn about herself. And I feel sad for her because what that means is there's more pain, there's more tears, more for her to go through in order to see the light. And how far will she go? That's yet to be discovered. Because all of us have a different capacity to learn and grow.
Do you think she's intuitive?
I think she is with great limits.
Okay.
She has some limitations.
Whereas Bethany, I think, is very introspective, and I think she benefited a lot from therapy, but
Bethany, exactly. I was thinking it. It's you are intuitive, because you picked it up from me. I was thinking it and didn't want to say compare and contrast, but I think that Bethany did get quite a bit mm-hmm. out of her therapy. She seems like a deep person mm-hmm. to begin with. Right. And so depth, shallowness, I'm not saying that she's shallow. I'm right, not yeah. saying that. But everyone has a different level of how far they can go.
Right.
And different levels of courage, openness, resilience. What does that come from? There's controversy among the experts.
Yeah, okay.
About what goes into that. Are you born? Is it nature versus mm-hmm. nurture?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you've been watching Ramona for years. What do you think of her in therapy?
I think that I would find her to be, I think she's probably someone that benefits better from life experience than someone telling her their opinion because mm-hmm. she is so defensive. I can't see her letting her defenses down and agreeing with someone right. else. It's kind of like just a learn it on my own as I go, as I'm ready to admit it to myself thing is the way that I see Ramona.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. That's good observation.
Experiential. Yeah.
And you know what I thought was so amazing that she said during their lunch? It's literally the most profound thing that I think I've ever heard her say. She said, I was a control freak. Maybe that's how I effed things up.
Yeah.
And I really thought that was just her admitting that was her part of the marriage failure. Because she did mention that he said, I was very unhappy, I was very angry with you, and I was very unhappy, and that's why I cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that this was really putting all the puzzle pieces together, and that was her puzzle piece to add into
right.
the puzzle. And
right.
I was like, that's it. He couldn't take how controlling she right. was anymore. He did it for 23 years.
Right, which doesn't make it right for him to cheat. He made a
right.
fool out of her. That's a whole other issue. But
right.
what led to the right to the
you know,
breakdown.
It's very interesting, because when she said that, you're right. If she had, as one of the other ladies said, come to Jesus.
Mm.
Somebody
yeah,
said,
yeah,
she
yeah,
has
yeah.
to come to Jesus. If she had that experience with that comment, then I would say, you're right on. When she said it, I wondered, will she be able to hold on to that realization? You know, mm. when she said it, it had just a tinge of flippancy mm. to it. Like, it was like an afterthought. It came out, but it wasn't truly introspection. Mm. Like, I wonder if it's because mm-hmm. where, you know, I don't know
yeah.
if she'll be able to integrate it, hold it, generalize it, and use it
mm-hmm.
the way I see Bethany using things she's learned about herself.
Yeah.
I hope she does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's yet to be discovered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think of Luann's advice? So Ramona was very honest and open and saying how wonderful things were. She never thought it would break down. And Luann's advice was hold on to the good memories. Personally, I don't think that's good advice for a breakup. I think happiness is the best revenge. Put it behind you and make happy new memories with someone wonderful, new people, new experiences, and forget it. But that's my advice. But you can tell me, good doctor, why I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think you're wrong at all. I felt like Luann was intuitively picking up that Ramona's still in pain. And I felt like that was her way of saying, feel better
okay.
here.
Like honor the pain, yeah.
Yeah, just try to remember what was good there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I felt like that was her way of, she intuitively knows that Ramona's not over
yeah.
this.
I was wondering what you maybe thought of Avery, who is Ramona and Mario's daughter. What, like, maybe the lasting effects of all of this happening were going to be on her, because they did mention that she knew everything. She
mm-hmm.
knew that her father had cheated. So I wonder
and
what
she's not
you
really
thought.
Young. She's 19. She's in college. And
she's 19 now, and she was about
this
17.
This was recent. 18.
When, maybe 18. Yeah.
Or 18 when she found out. I was saying as we were watching this that I have treated teenage girls, young ones, mm-hmm. like, say, 13 years old mm-hmm. and up. who've gone through the same experience, who actually discovered before the mother
that
the
God.
Father was cheating.
That adds a whole other layer.
Horrible. By reading emails.
Oh, my God.
Discovering cell phones. Yeah. And the pain is indescribable. You know, it's hard to imagine, but on a teenage girl, the experience is in some ways worse than the impact on the wife.
Wow.
Because right at that age, all teenage girls and boys, in order to round out and resolve a full positive self-identification, mm-hmm. they have to identify with their own gender. So the girl has to identify with that mother and the boy with the father. And if the mother's been betrayed, done to, mistreated, mishandled, it's as if he did it to the daughter.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So that's my experience with the daughters, is they feel the father did it to them. Betrayed
horrible.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Betrayed them. And they speak of it in terms of, you cheated on mommy and you cheated on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a big thing. And some of the girls cannot forgive unless the father does what many dads have a hard time understanding, which is own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't deny. You know, many of the dads say, but mommy and I weren't having a good relationship. Mommy and I weren't talking. It wasn't happening. Don't do that. Just say, I made a mistake.
Right. Yeah.
Own it. I should not have cheated. I should have dealt with mommy, separated, and then started fresh. Mm-hmm. It was a mistake.
Because the repercussions are probably major trust issues. And then if they own it, then they can kind of resolve the trust.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And so many of these teen girls have stayed with me for years. And I see them repeat a lot of these issues, trust issues, with their boyfriends.
In their own relationship.
Yes.
Oh,
it's a shame.
Well, Avery, we hope that you are seeking counseling and work through this.
And doing great and find a wonderful man,
and
not like Mary.
And it is possible to work it out. It is possible.
There's hope. Find your Dr. Fan at UVA. One thing about Luann, I thought they were having a great, genuine conversation, and then Luann says, well, Mario's on dating sites. Like, if you're really her friend, don't tell her that. That was so mean. But I was so proud of Ramona and her cool response.
I was too. And I have to say that I have a friend who's very much the girl. Like, you have to tell me. If you knew something, you have to tell me. Because we had a weird argument in the past where we're kind of a triangle of friends. That specific girl, we found out her boyfriend was lying about his age, and he was very much older than he was saying.
Oh.
And we didn't want to tell her the minute we found out, because her birthday was in a few days. So we decided, let's have the great birthday weekend, and we'll tell her Monday or Tuesday. And she ended up finding out herself that we knew. And
so she's like, I look like a fool.
And wasn't even mad at him. Well, it wasn't about him. It was about us not telling her. So I feel like there's two,
there's two kinds of girls. True.
There's girls that want to know, and there's girls that don't want to know.
Right.
Yes.
Right. What did you think of that, Dr. Fan?
I think you're both right. You know,
it depends what kind of girl Ramona
you are.
Is.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we don't really know. My first reaction was, I sat on the edge of my chair. What is she doing? But by Ramona's reaction, I thought maybe they had some conversation I didn't know about. Maybe Ramona does want to know. I loved her reaction. She never
so
got defensive.
Mm-hmm.
She handled it so appropriately.
So un-Ramona-like.
To me, she looked like she was a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
But that she wanted to hold it together and just look like, it's okay, we're not together. Because she knew that she'd been on plenty of dates, too. So okay. what does it matter right. if he's on okay. dating sites if yeah. she's going out dating, too? Yeah. Which she said. She said, yeah. we're not together. What does it matter?
Yeah. I was so proud of her. because I think typical Ramona, you know, she's so... That's I think right. she might have gone a little, like, haywire. And, like, what are you mm-hmm. telling me this for? We're not together. I shouldn't know. But she really, I was so...
Covered very
not
well.
Not to sound condescending, but I was very proud of you, Ramona.
Yes. Yeah. yeah.
Yes.
She was really great. So moving on to Girls' Night... So, this is what I thought the episode was going to be about. Kelly showing up and kind of like Scary Island 2 because Kelly right. and Bethany, as we know, had butted heads before. And it was kind of a, I can't do that noise, but what is it when it's like a...
Like, wah, wah, yeah. wah.
I can't do that, but... We've had a lot of those moments in previous Housewives shows, yes. Megan and yes. I know, so...
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Steven. So that's what that was. Did you guys yeah. feel that way too? It was really
yeah. It was kind of something happened. Just good for the promo yeah, last week, but,
exactly.
but nothing happened. But there was a good build up to it being resolved.
I think. There was, and I think Bethany completely had a point. You should have texted me. This isn't mm-hmm. just it's the equivalent of an ex boyfriend. Just give me a heads up, mm-hmm. you know, instead of blindsiding her. But it turned out to be really not a big deal.
Well, I thought what she said was exactly right when she said it's like bringing an ex boyfriend yeah. of mine, and to which Luann couldn't argue
completely,
and then. Luann, and she said, it was vintage Luann. It's slithery. She's dead on with that. I mean, it is a little shady to not tell Bethany that her mortal enemy
right.
is going to be there. But Bethany's so cool that she just walked up and gave her a hug.
Yeah.
The whole thing at the bar, I want to see what Dr. Fran thought of this. When Bethany went to the bar and didn't join the group until Luann came over and talked about it with her, did you think she was just stalling so that there wasn't an incident between everyone? You did. Okay.
I did.
Okay.
I did. I thought she was stalling.
Okay. Because she said a comment about, oh, I'm fine with Kelly. I just had an issue with Luann. Kind of making it seem like I was waiting for Luann at the bar. No. Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
We know.
No, I think she wanted to get her bearings and figure out how she was going to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you think that
was really a curveball?
Smart?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just walking in it. Yeah.
It was very smart because you can not erase what you say.
Yeah.
You can always take time to plan out how you're going to make your next move.
Right.
But you cannot erase if she had gone there and said something awful.
Right. And being like, not happy to see you.
This week's takeaway. You cannot erase.
Yes. You're very, very wise.
Yeah. So, rewind the tape.
So they ended up all having, you know, a great night. Sonia had her boy she was flirting with. Luann walked off with a boy. Ramona was talking to the Greek guy. They were all having so much fun. Heather and Kristen weren't there because they're married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a single girl's night out. And that's why they didn't invite Zorinda. And then in walks John. Let's cut back to when Zorinda was having lunch with John. We all had, I think, visceral reactions to that lunch.
Yes.
And Dr. Fran said that you have an opinion about what you saw, and we were like, we can't wait to hear it. So what was your assessment?
Okay. Well, I said, oh, my God, I think my assessment
after we saw the preview. Yeah,
totally
yeah.
wrong okay. after that. But here's my initial assessment. Okay. When we watch them having this lunch, okay, they've been together 2.5 years. Now, if I look at John, just looking at him at face value,
mm-hmm.
to me, he comes off as a tough, hard, rough, not sensitive, not very emotional guy who... I would question his values, okay? That's my sense of him mm-hmm. just looking. And I must say, a picture is worth a thousand words. However, when I watched them interact, uh-huh. I thought, okay, as a couple, let's look at who is the holder of control
yes.
in this relationship. It would appear at face value to be John because he's tough, he's big, he's thick, he's muscular. And she, I had said to you, oh, she's so reasonable and she's so nice and all of that. she is, it appeared to be the holder of control in that relationship. She got everything she wanted. Anytime there was a dispute or a conflict, she negotiated and she won each argument. Mm-hmm. What they ordered, she got the shrimp. Remember they had, they went through salads. He said, no, let's just get this salad after they went through back and forth. And then she came back and said, what about try the shrimp salad? Okay, let's try the shrimp salad. She won that one. When he was on the business call, she took the phone. Don't you ever call my boyfriend. Here's the phone. He hung up. That was the end of that. She had the last word. And it appeared to me, okay, sweet Dorinda is going to wear the pants in this couple, in this family. I had a very different, I thought, okay, you're wrong again, when I saw
the preview, which we could talk
of what's coming.
Yeah, we couldn't, you know, they kind of happened so fast, and we tried to get the gist of what it was, but it seemed that they were having an argument, and John said something to the effect of, I'll just call your daughter. I hope he didn't mean call her sexually, but then she said something, if you bring up my daughter, or if you bang my daughter, I don't know. She said
she cursed at him about contacting her daughter in whatever way he meant it. She was very offended, and she said, back it up or something about rewind that or you better back that up. So whatever he said really offended her. And I don't know if he said that to offend her or if she's playing off the handle.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, these two are firestorms.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't something sexual because that really takes it to another level of disgusting. But
he seems like a really powerful guy. Like the way he leads his life is like, I get that like mafia New Jersey New York guy like thing from him, which is like a total type in New York. And it's funny to see her come right back at him. And as you were saying, she wins when they go back and forth. Like she wins. So they're a very tough duo.
Yeah.
It's not like they're the sweet lovey-dovey couple. It's combative.
Yeah. I think he's more at the a disadvantage because she seems very educated, refined, you know, lived and worked in London, lives and works in New York, takes care of herself, seems educated, and he doesn't seem any of those things. And so I think that he's the one at a disadvantage. And when she grabbed his cell phone, I was like, that's so disrespectful. I don't care who's the one with the more education, who's the one, you should have a mutual respect. And if he has to take a phone call, right, you know, I'm sure it doesn't happen all the time. But for her to grab it, I was like, I hope that it's not really a business call.
Well, you know, it's a red flag of what is to come in this relationship. They don't live together, right?
Right, no.
And 2.5 years is a good chunk of time, but it is a red flag. I'd be very concerned because, you know, before a couple lives together, they have the best suit on. They're wearing their best costume.
Right.
It can only get worse
from here.
And to me, the key of the difference between the couples who make it and the ones who don't are the ones who resolve conflict well. And if it gets one-uppy and it's louder and louder and tougher and who's got more muscle, I think it's going to be worrisome.
Yeah.
Because they are, like you said, they're both very tough. You said mafia, I thought gangster.
Yeah.
He's got that gangster
and
mafia.
He's not Italian or a part of the mob. But it just, it's that, like, that type.
Oh, he could totally fit in on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, I think I saw two red flags from him. One is which she said, well, we don't see each other that much. And I don't know if whose choice that is, but that's weird to me.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he showed up at a nightclub where singles only really hang out. So it's kind of like, what is really going on? Is it kind of like a Mario Ramona situation where she's wearing the pants and it drives him in his off time from her to do some shady things?
You never know.
That's a good point, because if my initial speculation has any merit to it and she does wear the pants or hold control and win those mm-hmm. arguments, he may resent it.
Yeah.
Right. And could this be his way of acting out behind her back?
Right, yeah. He backed down with the phone call and then keeps backing down. Behind her back is, yeah.
Because the backing down is a castrating mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. So where does his manhood need validation and where does it get validated?
Right.
In a singles bar. That's a question.
Oh,
it's a question.
I love having
Hopefully, for Dorinda's sake, he's confident. Who knows? But yeah, then he's out at this singles bar. But he seemed, I don't know. I believed him when he said I was at business and she was out with her daughter. She knows where I am. I don't know. It seems believable to me.
Well, but I mean, I guess it's one of two things.
Yeah.
It's 50-50. Either she knew he was out with having a business meeting and she was with her daughter, or she didn't know and he didn't have pure intentions. And
so we're going to find out.
I guess we'll
You know what? To be honest, I believed he's not cheating.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also believe he will build up resentment mm-hmm. okay. if he loses every one of those disputes.
Yeah.
He will hold an anger toward her.
I think so.
And eventually act it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or get sick. Mm-hmm. Medical issues.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's or they'll just, break up. Yeah. Anyway, so it was a juicy episode. Did I miss anything? Did I cover
the only
everything?
Thing we really didn't cover was when Bethany and Heather and Luann were talking at lunch.
Yeah.
And Heather really tried to say, give Ramona a break. Maybe you don't understand where she's coming from or the way she's trying to speak to you. And Bethany said, can we stop? Because I just don't care.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not finding this conversation interesting.
Now, is that the right way to let someone know that you're not interested in talking about the conversation?
Well, I
would have had hurt feelings.
Me
if I
too.
Were
I would have felt bad.
She goes, can we not? Because I just don't care.
And they really don't know each other. This is still the beginning.
Right.
I actually thought, in last week when Bethany said, "I don't care. I don't want to engage with you."
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. In that moment mm-hmm. when she said, "I'm done. I just don't care." I don't think that's what was going on. I think she was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
she didn't say or identify it. She said, I don't care, because it seemed like the stronger position. But the truth is, she should have been able to identify and say, you know what? This is not comfortable for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down this road. Let's just talk about something else.
Right. She could have just said that. Yeah.
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 Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Fran. It makes perfect sense. All right. So it was an awesome episode, and we are going to move on to predictions, which we've been making them throughout. But
and now,
let's document our official predictions for next week.
Well, I'm going to say I think that Dorinda finds herself in a really uncomfortable position with the girls letting her know, well, we all met your boyfriend at the singles club we were at.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I think it gets fiery with John and Dorinda.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's what the argument that we saw. Maybe it stems from that.
Right.
Other than that.
Good prediction.
No other predictions.
That's a great prediction. I think along with it, I think we'll see a different element or aspect of Dorinda's personality mm-hmm. that we have not yet seen.
Yeah. Okay.
She's been a fairly agreeable lady.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see a little more, as you said, fire and hostility and a little more edge to her personality. And it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I have to agree with those. And I thought it was interesting how Bethany and Heather, to finally see them together and talking again, and they both have such strong personalities and they're both so smart, and I predicted a while ago that they were going to butt heads, and I think it's going to happen even more because of their personalities. And also, seeing Kelly, I just had visions of Jill, so I feel like there's going to be a Jill comeback at some point in the season. That's my bold prediction. So, before we close out and tell you where to find us, let's talk, if we can, a little bit about Sex Box on WeTV. So I have on my to-do list DVR Sex Box. My husband does not know what that means, but he's happy. So if you could tell us quickly just where to find it, what it's about. And
sure. Absolutely. Sex Box is on WeTV. You can go to WeTV's website. It's WeTV.com. And go on shows, click on Sex Box, and look up at the episodes and all the videos.
And the first 5 are there, you said?
The first 5 are there, and then probably clips from all of them.
So we can catch up.
Yes.
On MeTV.com. Okay.
Yes, and clips that introduce you to the experts.
Okay.
And
You're one of the experts. You help people with their sex life.
Their sex life and their relationships.
Okay.
And so what happens is couples have a relationship issue, a problem of some sort. They come on, they in a little capsule, they present the issue, and then they go in this box. It's a room that has no cameras, no microphones. They do the dirty in the box.
On stage, right?
On stage in front of a live audience.
But nobody can see anything.
Cannot see.
Completely concealed.
Cannot hear.
Okay.
Completely concealed. And the idea is, after sex, the hormone oxytocin levels are high. And so it's the love bonding cuddle hormone, mm-hmm. and it allows people to be open and more vulnerable to deal with real issues. They come out, they're a little sweaty and schlumpy and messed up. They come out, they sit on the couch, and we dig in deep and get into what the real issues are and the root cause, and then give them strategies, ideas, take home of how to work on the problems.
I love it.
And I'll tell you, it's the furthest thing from what I really do in my office, but it's amazing how many people truly have been helped.
Yeah, awesome.
So it's been great. And right now, the producers are reworking the format of the show, and we're excited. They're going to bring it back, and hopefully it'll be more exciting.
So we'll check Sex Box on WeTV, and where can we find you on social media?
At Fran Walfish.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Awesome.
Guys, I'm Megan Stecker. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Megan Stecker.
And I'm Fern Ronay, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fern Ronay. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
Thank you so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.